Okay. Good evening, everyone, and welcome, Brother Theo and your entourage members from Kalyana Mitra. Tonight's topic: understanding Satipatthana. And here in our learning of Dharma, I think this is one of the essential factors of the Eightfold Path. All right. So many would have may not have understood what actually the important thing that the Buddha tried to teach us. So especially for meditators, I think this is a very important point that we have to understand. And what actually is sati, and patthana means the foundations. So what are the foundations? Here tonight, Brother Theo will share with us his knowledge on this cultivation of this factor that is the one of the Eightfold Path factors, the foundation of mindfulness, four foundations of mindfulness. And as usual, before he takes over the mic, let us take refuge and observe the precepts. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 24th, is it 23rd or 24th, February 2017. Because nowadays I need to put in the date. We try to set up the website, all this will be inside there, all the recording, the audio file. So in order to make it easy for those who try to create a catalog for all this file, I will make it a point to speak the date and the place where the talk is. So today, being a Friday, 24 February 2017. We are now at Tiratana MBC Center, Klang. The next topic, as you can see on the whiteboard, is Satipatthana Sutta, Understanding Satipatthana. So that was a topic given by Brother Gan to me. That according to him, if I didn't hear him wrong, he said they want to kickstart a series of talk basing on the 37 factors of enlightenment. You heard of this word, 37 factors of enlightenment? Your usual sutta one is the 7 factors of enlightenment. But in the teaching, they have a wider definition where they put in 37 factors of enlightenment. Means these are the practices. If you develop them, it can bring about enlightenment. So in order to fulfill that, I may have to list out to you the 37 factors of enlightenment so that you can have an idea of how the teaching fit into the 37 factors of enlightenment. Then initially, Brother Gan, when he gave me the title, he said, Understanding Satipatthana as a factor of enlightenment within the 37 factors of enlightenment. Then I told him, the title is okay, but Satipatthana is not a factor of enlightenment. Satipatthana constitutes 4 types of mindfulness practices. Each and every of the 4 foundations is a factor of enlightenment, but Satipatthana itself is not a factor of enlightenment. So finally, they all like that. Since the title is okay, we stick to the title. Yeah? Okay, now we can have a quick run through. Yeah? The 37 factors of enlightenment, what are they? Yeah? Come. Yes, very good. Factors of enlightenment. First one is 4 foundation of mindfulness. So this 4 foundation of mindfulness, there are 4. There's a 4 foundation of mindfulness. And this is what today's topic is all about. That's why it's called Satipatthana practices. And this one comes from the Buddha's teaching. According to the Buddha, the 4 foundations of mindfulness is one of the most important practice. Because in the opening statement to the monk, the Buddha mentioned to the monk, Ekayana Bhikkhave Bhikkhu and the rest. The meaning is, he said, O Bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, to reach the right path, to realize the right enlightenment, which is Nibbana. And since it's the only way, so this is a must cultivate practice. The Satipatthana practices means the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Then next one is what? What is the next category? The 4 right effort. Very good. So the 4 right effort, this is also part of the Noble Eightfold Path. The first 2 is to abandon whatever unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech or action or livelihood that has arisen. You have to arise the right effort to abandon them. Then when you are skillful, you can arise the right effort to prevent all this unwholesome thought, action, speech, and livelihood from arising. Then the other 2 right effort is to cultivate the wholesomeness, the virtue, the good mind state that are still not in you. Then the final right effort is to refine upon all those mind states. Even when you develop this 4 right effort, they are factors of enlightenment that can lead you to enlightenment. Then after that, What else? The first three is all four. This one maybe you all haven't heard of. Huh? Four bases of success. Some call it power. Some call it power. Then after that, the next one is what? Five spiritual faculties. Five spiritual faculties. Then, the next one, a repeat of this, they call it the five spiritual powers. When you cultivate these spiritual faculties until it is unshakable, until it's a part of you, very stable, then it becomes powers. It really becomes power. Because during that time, your meditation is automatic. No need to do anything. The spiritual faculty will allow you to understand, will enable you to awaken and develop all the understanding. That's why these spiritual faculties, accumulating into power, they are so powerful is because without the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. Now you see the relevant and the important. Yeah? They are called spiritual faculty because the moment they are there, the hindrance of mind is no more there. And because of that, there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's how you can develop the samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are with clarity and awaken to the truth, to realize the wisdom. That's why the last spiritual faculty is panya. When there is panya, you will keep on straightening your views. Then you will have what they call yoniso manasikara, or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of sense contact. Then you are no longer deluded. That upon contact, craving will not arise. Upon contact, feeling will remain as pure feeling. It will not stir, it will not create delusion. So this is why these five spiritual faculty and the equivalent five powers, they are very important. Next one is what? Yes, very good. Noble Eightfold Path. So this one got eight power factors. So the seventh power factor, samasati, is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about. Satipatthana is all about. The main factor of enlightenment is originally sati. It's just sati. But because you have developed sati, you can cultivate these four foundations of mindfulness. That's why the cultivating of each and every of these four foundations, starting with your kaya, vedana, citta, and dhammanupassana, they constitute factors of enlightenment too. That's why sati is the most common among the 37, repeated at least, I think, eight times if I'm not wrong. Then you include these four, it's a lot more time. The last one is what? Seven factors of enlightenment. Very good, thank you. So this one is called Sattabhujanga. Seven factors of enlightenment. So this one in Pali is called Satta Bhujanga. Satta is seven. Bhujanga is enlightenment factors. So you add up all this, what do you get? You will get 37. So 12 plus 5 plus 5, 22. 22 plus 8, 30. Then plus 7 is 37. So these 37 factors of enlightenment are the practices and cultivation that can bring about enlightenment. So, like Brother Gan say, they want to kickstart these 37 factors of enlightenment. Yeah. Then they want to discuss it through all their sharing. So tonight we are going to cover the first four. This first four is part of the Satipatthana practices. So the four foundation of mindfulness, as you are all familiar, you have kaya, vedana, then third one is what? Chitta, then dhamma. So all these words you are familiar with. So the first foundation of mindfulness is on your kaya. Your kaya refers to your physical body. That's why all of meditation that anchors your mindfulness to your kaya is grouped and classified under kaya anupassana. Then within your own form and mind, you also have the vedana, which is your feeling aggregate. Then within your form and mind, there is also citta, consciousness and its content. Then the last one is, there are dhamma within your own form and mind. That's the reason why the Buddha said, he said within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought and mindfulness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Means the Four Noble Truths can be realized within the phantom-like body, within our form and mind. That is also the reason how Sun Siu, you remember that monk? He was the senior monk of Hui Ning. He was the most senior and he's supposed to take over to be the abbot, but somehow Hui Ning was appointed the sixth patriarch and he was not. But later on, because he stayed back, he became the abbot of the temple. He took over from the fifth patriarch, but he is not the sixth patriarch. Then when he wrote that poem, you remember his poem, which later on Hui Ning wrote another one to tear it down. What was his poem? His poem got something to do with this four foundation. He knew about this practice. And he knew about what the Buddha described. He said, within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. So since you knew, our body is very important. That's why he said, our body is like a bohi tree. You can understand the analogy. Bohi tree means that bohi is enlightenment. It's like a tree of enlightenment that can bring about enlightenment. So he was correct in the first stanza. But the second and third, he went wrong. What was the second stanza? When he said this body of ours is like a bohi tree, he talked about the mind. How did he describe the mind? Six patriarch. Sutta, forgotten. How did he describe the mind? He said the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. That one is not the true mind. That one is the mundane mind. That one is your conditioned arising mind, thinking mind. That's why that one is thought. And this is where all the thought-based meditation, all the method technique, the noting one all go wrong. Because he couldn't differentiate between the true mind and the mundane mind, conditionalizing mind. Because he hasn't reached that state of meditation. He has not realized that true mind. He has not reached the silent, the cessation. That's why there is no way for him to develop the understanding. That's how he was limited by his own lack of understanding. Then because he thought the mundane mind was the mind that he need to use to cultivate. The third stanza, what did he say? What did he do with the mind? Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. He thought the mirror bright on a stand, the mundane mind was his true mind. So he said, make sure with mindfulness, ever mindful, to maintain, means polish this mind until it shines so that no dust can alight, so that you are perfect, pure, without defilement. Yeah. What do you think of that third stanza? Huh? Is that the way to cultivate, to practice? It's very logical, isn't it? You say, yeah, correct. What? The Buddha also advised, avoid all evil, what? Do good. So this is what he precisely is doing. Polish until it shines, means so that no dust can align, means ever mindful to keep the precept and everything. Then where did he go wrong? Yeah? Where did he go wrong? Where did he go wrong? Huh? Where did he go wrong, his practice? Yeah, that one is correct. But there is one more part that he completely failed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching got three parts in it, the advice. Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyotapanang etang buddhana sasana. What is the third one? First is avoid all evil. All evil you have to avoid. Do good, which he did. The third one is purify your mind. He cannot understand that. Understand? That's why he go and use the wrong mind to meditate. That's the reason why without sati, you cannot understand what is the true mind, what is the silent mind, what is the meditative mind. And without that understanding, you will be doing all the thought-based meditation like I used to explain to you all. You can be wasting your time year in and year out meditating diligently. And today, I brought some new transcript book. The yellow one, 36 Lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, explain very clearly about what meditation is and how you can understand the real meditation as taught by the Buddha so that you are not caught in thought-based meditation, energy field, and all this thing. The other one is understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is the part two. Last time you have the other book, Lighter Blue, is part one. So this book are available for those from Klang. You have not got a copy, you can collect. But at least keep one each for Brother Khan and Brother Te. The rest you all can take. Okay? You got not enough, you don't worry. You come to Thursday class, you can ask for more. Yeah. Or Tuesday class or Sunday class, you can collect them. So this is where since you went wrong. Purification of mind. How do you purify your mind? Which is the mind that you need to purify? Huh? Huh? Which mind? Louder, louder. Cannot hear. Ah, good. The mundane mind. So in meditation, you must understand there are two types of mind. If you cannot understand this, then too bad. You can forget about meditation. First is the conditioned arising mind. And this one, they also call it by different name. The first one is the mundane mind. The other name is thinking mind. Thinking mind. So when I mention mundane mind and the thinking mind, I think it's easier for you to understand. Huh? Conditionalizing mind. Then the second one is true mind. control mind is your silent mind. Silent mind. And this is the one that can meditate. This is the meditative mind. This one has clarity. Meditative mind. Because it's the meditative mind, it's silent, it's just aware. It's just awareness, aware. It's not a noting mind, nothing to know. It's awareness before the knowing, just aware. Just like the pure consciousness when it arises. In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness without the content, just aware. And there is no one inside there to be aware. If you cannot understand this too, you cannot meditate. That's why the whole of meditation is about training this mind, purifying the mundane mind. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, then the mundane mind is very active because the mental hindrance is there, and these are the nutrients for avijja. Ignorant, self-delusion, create a lot of this mental activity to stir your mind to react. And these are called mental hindrance. And it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state to realize the true mind. When your mind is active, heedlessly thinking, lost in thought, having all the mental hindrance keep on arising because of avijja, it creates activity of mind, sankhara, the first two links of dependent origination. That's how you think a lot. You become heedless after that. We are avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent or ignorant, or self-delusion. The main culprit for ignorance is self-delusion. It arises sankhara, which is mental activity, thinking. So when mental activity arises, it makes contact with your mind door. Then it creates thought consciousness. That's how sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Then through your own wrong view, delusion, mental conditioning, views and opinion, you input the content of consciousness and stir your mind. That's how vijnanam paccaya namarupam, the five aggregate of form and mind, mental aggregate arise. Then you get into trouble. And within there, the seven universal, all the contact, feeling, perception, whatever views and opinion, manasikara, attention, and all the things, they're all there. Then because of that delusion, it caused that mundane mind to react, to stir. That's how upon contact, not only feeling arise, straight away, without wisdom, without the yoniso, manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you straight away condition craving. There is no way you can guard that feeling. Only people talk about it, like letting go. In Hokkien, you are familiar, in Klang, lo lai gong, or there is Cantonese, sorry, gia lai gong. In Cantonese, sorry, lo lai gong. Cannot be done, but very logical. It's an idea created by thought, and you believe it, and you try to practice that. Practice what? Gut and feeling. You go and try. Without wisdom, no way, you are dead. Straight away you are dead. Because the Buddha said, without sati, you cannot have heedfulness. And without heedfulness, you are as if dead. You cannot develop the wisdom. That's why the meditation is very straightforward, and you don't understand. So Sunsiu's problem is, he don't understand this mind. He was caught in the conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind. So that one, he thought, it is like a mirror bright, reflecting everything that he come to see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. Whatever the senses develop through perception, it is reflected by this mind. That's why he said, like a mirror bright. understand. Keep on reflecting the phenomenal. Keep on perceiving, reacting, perceiving, reacting, reflecting. So when you do this style of practice, you only cultivate the first two. You try to avoid evil, do good. That's why the fifth page will say, not bad. The stanza. You all can learn to cultivate it. But then he later on called in Sensio, the fifth page. He said, I give you another chance. You have not realized the true mind. You have not awakened. You are at the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know what the thing is. You don't know how to enter. You understand the meaning of the advice of the fifth page. Why did he tell Sensio that? By right, since you have developed the cultivation correctly, he would have straight away awakened when he heard from the fifth patriarch what his cultivation was all about. But the only thing the fifth patriarch refused to let him understand is he didn't explain this to mind to him. Otherwise, he would have immediately awakened. Or very much faster, he would have been awakened. Because he knew sixth patriarch, the poem counter his. So the sixth patriarchship must go to Huining. That's why he didn't want to tell Sensio. Can you follow? Can you follow? Don't worry, it's recorded. Don't have to remember. The whole of meditation becomes very simple when you understand the third advice of the Buddha, purify. How do you purify this mind? Yeah? And what evil is not purifying? And what evil is to take care of karma? Do good is to develop more good karma, good wholesomeness. Purify the mind. How do you purify? What's wrong with this mind? Yeah? What's wrong with the condition? Arising mind, mundane mind, thinking mind. What is its problem? Yeah? What is its problem? Thought is correct, but what is its problem? Thought is egoic, isn't it? So its problem is what? It has ignorance, self-delusion, understand? So this is the part where you have to purify. So this self-delusion or ignorant is the one that traps this mind and make it become what it is. So self-delusion or avijja. Avijja, which is ignorant. This is where the problem is. And this mind has this problem. Whereas the true mind got nothing. There is no self-delusion. There is no ignorance. That's why you can meditate, you can understand, you can awaken. This one is without the egoic mind, without the wrong view, without the delusion. The delusion and the wrong view. Wrong view. That's why you meditate to awaken. You meditate to awaken to this self-delusion, to realize the truth, that there is this universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering state, non-self and empty nature. So the whole of the purification process is to develop the wisdom to straighten your view, not to focus, concentrate and play with energy field. Now you understand. And how do you purify? Yeah? How do you purify? You must have this heedfulness. That's why the Buddha keep on reminding the monks, strive on with heedfulness, even before he died. And what is heedfulness? Heedfulness got two parts, Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful. And the steadfast one means you stick onto these two cultivation steadfastly, you will realize the bond-free nibbana. Guaranteed. So to be constantly meditative means you must develop the heedfulness to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, which is part of the 37 factors of enlightenment. So this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this one is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this one is very important. So heedfulness is the most important to develop the purification of mind. Without heedfulness, there is no way you can understand life. You can understand nature's truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence. When you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will have right views with regards to all the spiritual law that governs life and existence. Then you understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you know how to live your life. You are like a noble one with noble qualities, noble understanding. Then you will know how to constantly apply the four right effort, which is part of the 37 factors of enlightenment, to avoid all evil and do good. Develop virtue, wholesomeness, to bring about good karmic condition. Then after that, you will have the samasati to develop the four foundation of mindfulness. And this is the only way. That's what today's topic is all about. Then accumulating into samasamadhi, then you can see things as they are and awaken, because the mind is collected and unwavering. That's how wisdom come to be. That's how the last factor of enlightenment, upekkha, come to be. So if you have developed the meditation correctly, all this will fall into place and you will understand. So purification of mind is about wisdom, nothing else. Nothing to do with all the fantastic meditation experience. The calmness, the peacefulness, the fantastic jhanas and all those things, the psychic ability. No use. They don't bring about wisdom to free the mind from avijja, ignorance, self-delusion. That's why this mind cannot be purified. That's why since you keep on polishing the mind until it shines, no use, because he was dealing with duality. And he cannot transcend duality, which is the deeper aspect of the middle path. Like the Buddha say, imas means sati idang hoti. Imas means asati idang arhoti. This one is like Lao Tzu one. Yin and Yang. The Buddha told the monk at that time, he said, imas means sati. When this arises, idang hoti, that will arise. When you create good, what happened? Whatever that is not like that, the other side, bad, automatically arise. True or not? Can you see? The duality is very fast. When you create a standard for beauty, if it's not this standard, the other side is ugly. Understand? Or non-beauty. If you create a standard of good, then there is bad. Right, there is wrong. That's why duality arises. When this arises, that arises. Then imas means asati. When this ceases, the other side automatically ceases. Idang hoti. So why do you want to create? When you create one side, the yang, yin and yang, the other side, the duality will arise. So who create? Mundane mind, through thought, through words, through idea, through concept, create. That's where it goes wrong. It gets itself entangled, like sensu. After you create defilement, dust, then you want to polish it until it shines. You create your own duality and you want to do away with one and cling on to the good, the wholesome, the right meditation. You will be busy doing. How can you awaken? Whole day, polish until it shines, you know, like you cannot do anything else. No? You have to look after this mirror bright mind, you know, so that no dust can align. You know? every day you must make sure your house, nothing come in. How to live life if you continuously do that? You're supposed to silent and awaken, then after that, no need to do anything. The moment you awaken, you have the wisdom, everything can be dealt with. And you will not be deceived anymore. The mundane mind will not be deluded anymore, but it's connected to this wisdom, understanding. So the whole of meditation is just understanding this part, which sense you fail to understand. That's why it's all about mindfulness. No more using the thought. No more creating duality and try to meditate to overcome those duality. Just like the mental hindrance. The mind cannot be peaceful, cannot be silent. You know what they do? They go and focus, concentrate, develop all the jhana, that is option. They go and control it, force it into one-pointedness. And that is what they are doing. They create concept and idea about meditation. Then they use the idea and the thought process, thought-based meditation, to control and to fix until no thought. Then they think it's the same. If you do that, you are wasting your time. The whole of meditation, the Buddha talked about only mindfulness, awareness. And that's why he said the four foundations of mindfulness is the only way. So now we go into this topic, four foundations of mindfulness. First foundation is kaya. Within kaya, there are six categories of practices. What are they? The first one is anapanasati. Yes, very good. Practices. First one is anapanasati. Second? Mindfulness of the four posture. Four posture. Then, third one? Third one is what? No. Third one is not the third foundation. Kaya anupasana. Sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then? The next one is what? Mindfulness of the four elements within your kaya. Then, fifth one, mindfulness of where did the Dhamma go? You cannot remember this, how to cultivate. 32 parts of your body, of your kaya. Last one. Nine stages of cemetery contemplation. Cemetery contemplation. All of these six, the most important one is the four posture, followed by sati sampajana. These two you have to do. And this is what daily mindfulness is all about. Daily mindfulness. Mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. And this is what they call sati, present moment awareness. Without this, you cannot see your mind. You cannot develop the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. You cannot awaken. What is this anapanasati all about? Mindfulness of in and out breath. It's just a training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful. And the Buddha used anapanasati because it's very neutral as an object of meditation. And most people find it suitable. And the breath is always with you, every moment. In the present moment, you can be mindful of this in and out breath. You are aware of the breathing in and out, and you are always without thought. in the present moment. That's why anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You are mindful of the in and out breath. Breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. No labeling, nothing. Just aware. When you are aware, you cannot think. Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's lost in thought, thinking, preoccupied with the thought process and the reaction and the stirring, or it is silently aware. It can be aware of everything that is within nature, everything that arises within your own form and mind. And that is what the meditative mind is all about, the silent mind is all about. Can you follow? So this anapanasati is only peculiar because the Buddha taught this, and to him, this is the easiest way to train the mind. But when you understand, you look at the 37 factor of enlightenment, these five spiritual faculties appear twice. Why? Because this is the one that will counter the five mental hindrances. And when you have this, you can understand spiritual teaching. To understand spiritual teaching. Teaching. Because without the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. That's the reason why in all my sharing, I emphasize a lot on teaching you how to develop the five spiritual faculty through contemplation into who the Buddha is, how special and unique a being he is. Then develop the sadha, the faith. Then how wonderful his teaching because of his aeons and aeons of perfection and cultivation. He is the wisest and the most virtuous. That's why he is very unique, very special, and his teaching is fantastic. It can transform you, liberate your mind, and make you enlightened, awakened. So such a being, you will have a lot of gratitude, respect, you have a lot of faith, that it will drive you to cultivate. That's why sadha virya will arise. Then when you cultivate seriously, sati will arise. Now all the other teaching is to develop sati. Anapanasati will develop sati. The four posture will stabilize sati. Then sati sampajana will make your sati continuous and become very, very powerful. When these become a part of you, you are mindful in the midst of life. Means throughout the day, you are heedful, fully aware. That's why you can become enlightened. If you are only heedful, in inverted commas or more, when you are in a retreat, in a formal meditation session, after you come out of the retreat and your formal meditation, when you go back to life, what happened to you? Eh? Most of you, you have not cultivated the daily mindfulness, these two practices. You will be heedless, lost in thought, like what you used to do. That's why no amount of retreat and so-called formal meditation, if you don't understand, if you don't develop it until it stabilizes the mind, then you can bring that mind out into the daily life to cultivate the daily mindfulness. You don't stand a chance. Because the Buddha said, if in the midst of life you are heedless, back to square one. The heedless are as if dead, the Dhammapada was 21. Spiritually dead. You don't stand a chance. That's why there is no way you can awaken. So I hope you see this point clearly and understand this point clearly. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life throughout the day continuously. You don't stand a chance at all. So this is a very important understanding. Okay? Then after you have developed this daily mindfulness, you will have the ability to see things as they are and insight into phenomena. You will have the stability of mindfulness to see your own mind, your own mundane mind, thinking mind, chattering mind, the conditioned arising mind. The mind that verbalizes a lot, the mind that has a lot of delusion, wrong view, ignorant. So when you start to see yourself in action, in relationship, in the midst of life, in motion, in activity, then you start to come to an understanding that all along the form and mind has been misleading you, deluding you. And because you fail to understand all this, you get yourself entangled. You attach and cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you. That's where self-delusion comes in, sets in, and you develop all of the misery, the suffering, and the affliction in life. So meditation becomes very simple when you understand. Without the daily mindfulness, you cannot see your true mind. You cannot be with that meditative mind. Then you cannot awaken. You cannot have the ability to even see your own aggregate of mind arising and passing away. You cannot understand the essential Dhamma of dependent origination. Even the three evil roots, you're supposed to be mindful of it and develop the ability to free the mind. You are using thought-based meditation. Yeah. It's normally after the anger, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, the greed, the reason already, then another thought look at it and say, I still have anger. I still have selfishness. I still have craving, desire. Who say anger is you? Who say craving is you, desire is you? But you never meditate. You only use idea and thought created by knowledge, what people tell you. That's why you cannot free and liberate your mind. If you really cultivate the correct form foundation of mindfulness, you're supposed to be silent and aware. Then when the mind stir, the anger arises, the awareness is with it. Not the thought that knows anger. The thought that knows anger is another thought. Anger already over. Through memory, you recall and recollect. That is not sati. Patana. That is not mindfulness of kaya. There is not mindfulness of citta. Even feeling, you have to be at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling. The sati and the awareness is with it, no words. And that is the real cultivation. Not until the daily mindfulness arises, the basic wisdom, the initial wisdom, to allow you to insight into the three universal characteristics. So these three universal characteristics, when they arise, this silent mind will have the ability to insight into it, because these are universal characteristics inherent in all phenomena in this universe, whether it's mental phenomena, physical phenomena, or nature's phenomena. The characteristics of nature are always there, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? Those who see, they always see. That's why you must have the silent mind, heedfulness, ever mindful, to see all this. Then it will awaken. Then when you understand that the five aggregate of form and mind, nama rupa, or rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana, including the mental form that arise in the five aggregate of mental, five aggregate of form and mind, at every moment of sense, door contact. Not until you have the ability to see that, how the external form enters the mind, and how through your wrong view, through your views and opinion and your conditioning, you stir and react and grasp onto those mental forms. How you cling and grasp onto all the feeling aggregate, whatever you perceive, the perception aggregate, then all your thoughts, views, opinion, idea, you attach, you cling. That's how suffering arises, conflict arises, argument arises, misery arises. Then consciousness is the greatest magician. You attach and cling to everything you come to perceive through your consciousness, through your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, and tactile and thought consciousness. you will be deceived. You will be deluded. And there is no way you can free your mind. And this is the real meditation. So not understanding all this without daily mindfulness, all this become impossible. You cannot awaken to, you cannot develop the wisdom, the understanding, and you cannot straighten your view, and you cannot purify your mundane mind. That's how the meditation cannot progress. Not until you have sati, very stable, leading to heedfulness, appamada. Then after that, the Buddha only recommend you reflect and contemplate on the kaya, the body. Mindfulness of the four elements. Means this physical form of ours, they are made of the four elements, nothing else. The consciousness, which is the knowing part, has got nothing to do with this physical form. They say he wants you to see the physical form. They are elements. Go the way of nature. They are not you. That's why he asks you to reflect and contemplate every day. The first three contemplations. This body of ours is of the nature to do what? To grow old, decay, get sick, and one day die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. But this one is element, go the way of nature. You must see it very clearly so that you don't deludedly cling and worry about this body getting old, getting sick, and what they die. That's why a lot of people are so fearful of death. They are so fearful of disease and getting old. And these are the realities of life and existence where each and every living being has to experience and go through. And you don't develop the contemplative wisdom, then the ultimate wisdom born of meditation, you cannot free. They say all this is to help you to free. Then this 32 part also same. You have to meditate on it, be mindful of it. Then you realize it's like the bullock cart analogy that the Buddha talked about. You are just a composition of all the parts that comes together. Then it performs a function. You give it a name, bullock cart. Arise already, exists already. Then you attach and cling. You think it's real. But when all the parts are taken out, where is the human being? Where is the physical form? Where is the kaya? Like the blockad. He asked the monk to strip all the axle, the wheel, the car, everything. Then he asked the monk, where is the blockad? They say, gone, no more. Your condition that give rise to its arising has already ceased to be. It's just like the saying of the Buddha, imas min asati idang roti. When this condition ceases, the other side also ceases. That's why exist and non-existent is all dependent originating. When the conditions are there to sustain it, then it arises, it exists. But when the condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. That's why we call it condition arising phenomena, dependent originating phenomena. No permanent unchanging entity behind, no reality. That's why you should develop that understanding and awaken to all these universal characteristics. Then when you silence your mind, you can insight into it and you can just awaken. No problem, not an issue at all. And it's very easy, especially now, where the sasana is still around, where there are a lot of great conditions for you to receive all this teaching and understanding, where the consciousness is still very beautiful. Yeah. Then after that, the nine stages of cemetery contemplation is to develop the wisdom and the understanding not to be deceived by this beautiful form, the human form. When you are young, youthful, when you are in the midst of life, where everything is still going on well, you have your good health, you have your senses, all fully in good working condition. And you have the good mind, the means to live life. Then you will be deceived because you look at the form. Then you say, beauty, beautiful, handsome. Then you get attracted to the opposite sex. Some they get attracted to the same sex too. Then through delusion, You cannot understand. But the Buddha told the monk, you should look at the dead corpse. When this form is devoid of consciousness, it can be somebody who just died. Can be young, can be old, can be what. That beautiful form straight away become what? Yeah? The four elements dispersed. Especially the first two. Yeah? The heat element and the wind element gone. Then the water element and the earth element, they are still there. Then you see it decaying. How it turned blue-black and blue. Then the filthy, foul smell and all things. Then with the four elements and the 32 part, you know all the organ, a lot of filthy things. Your urine, your pus, your feces, all of the organ inside there. They are not what you think you are. It's a skin bag full of all these things inside. But there is the process of life. Elements goes the way of nature. But because of condition, the life force, through karmic force, it pumps the heart. Then it animates this form of mind into a living being, like real. And you think you are real. Yeah, it can smile, it can laugh. It can animate and speak. And joke and do a lot of funny things. Then of course it can get itself entangled with life and become miserable and sorrowful too. And all this make it like very real to you. Then nobody in the right frame of mind with a logical mind will agree with you that this is not me. How can you say not me? Whatever I want to do, I can. Why you say not me? I want to walk, I can walk. I want to stand, I can. I want to run, I can. And the commences, I also can. Then why not me? Because you did meditate, that's why you cannot understand why not you. When somebody is paralyzed from the waist down, you ask the guy to walk and see. He cannot walk anymore. We have the condition no more there. The condition for his arising is gone. So all this you can witness as you experience life, as you go through life. So this is the first foundation. Yeah? The other three foundations I have to go through quickly, because this one is quite easy. Vedana, the Buddha said there are three types of feeling. What are the three types? Yeah? Yeah? Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. So under this mindfulness of feeling, what are you supposed to do? When feeling arises, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be at the moment of feeling, understand? But what do they taught you or teach you? Not feeling. Who is nothing? Huh? Who is nothing? The thought is nothing. The thought is verbalizing, trying to know. When you are just mindful, aware, the silent mind is just spaciously without a center, just aware. Then upon contact, the awareness goes there. That is aware. Then the content of consciousness went in, no words. Then you know what is happening inside there. That word feeling is not the actual sensation, the conscious mind that is conscious of it. That is already the aggregate of mind. But the awareness that is aware of it is before the knowing. No words, no concept, nothing. That's why in Vedana Nupassana, it's just awareness. And what did the Buddha say? When there is pleasant feeling, what must you do? Huh? Are you all following? Are you all on the same page? Yeah? You have been going for retreat and doing Vedana Nupassana and Kaya Nupassana, and you cannot tell me what are you supposed to do. The Satipatthana book say what? When there is this pleasant feeling, you have to be? This one also you don't know then how to cultivate. Then you always use your thought. Oh, how are today? How I feel? Oh, pleasant, huh? Oh, pleasant. Satipatthana say, pleasant feeling. Oh, I aware. This is not Vedana Lupasana, understand? No? Vedana Lupasana is when you are silent, spacious awareness. That upon contact, any of the sense door, Cameron Highland, the chipping of the birds, the nature's vibration, a lot of things, even your fellow meditators, vibration and sound also a lot, understand? No? Then the nature's vibration. Then all of your senses is fully open. Then when the mind is just aware, upon contact, it's very clear what happened. Then when your mind starts to stir, when feeling is conditioned into craving, you will know what is craving. Huh? Like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant. Understand? And these are the first two mental hindrances of mind. Vedana Nupasana is to allow you to be aware of that. Means when you have reacted to it, there's a pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling when they arise. The awareness is aware of it. Means mental hindrance arise already. It is going to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. The silent mind cannot be there. Do you understand? This is what you're supposed to do under that foundation. And that is just the surface, you know, feeling. The third foundation is the more important one. Citta. Citta is consciousness and is content. You're supposed to go deeper than feeling. You're supposed to see the content of consciousness. Kusala and akusala citta. That's why even when there is a neutral feeling, you're supposed to be aware. And this neutral feeling comes from what? You have to be aware. Sometimes it's indifferent because nothing to do with you, not related to you. That's why you are indifferent towards it. Then sometimes it's a conditioned state. You become peaceful, calm, equanimous because the energy is there. Jhana, absorption, concentration. You have to be aware. So these are the mind state that you have to be aware. The feeling part is just to tell you the mental hindrance, indifference and all those things. Then when you are aware, you can do something about it. You have to straighten your view, purify your mind to straighten your view. Why did you react? How come you still have like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience in the midst of life? Why can't you understand things is just the way it is, no right, no wrong? And when you experience something, the feeling within, there is no delusion, then there is no craving, there is no like and dislike. You will not chase after it, crave after it, or cling, grasp after it. There is no more. Got condition to have, you have. Like good food, you can eat. But when there is no condition, you won't become afflicted, miserable, hopefully, complain, and do all those funny things. So this is the purpose of Vedana Nupasana, to understand feeling clearly at the moment of sense contact. Then the content of consciousness is when you input the content through your views and opinion, and this is where you learn and see clearly the dependent origination, how you become what you are, due to wrong view. You react and stir your mind and create all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then your mind is affected, the mental hindrance or surface, restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament. All this come about through your evil roots, through your delusion. So it's in meditation that you see them. In your Vedana Nupasana, Citta Nupasana. But when you are at a retreat, very calm, very peaceful, nobody to disturb you, how to cultivate this? You have to be in the midst of life. When you meet your enemy and people whom you don't like, then you find out whether your content of consciousness, you can still maintain the calmness, the peacefulness, the equanimity to accept him for what he is, to still have love and compassion. That is the real meditation in the midst of life. Not when you are in a retreat, very calm, tranquil setting where everybody keep the precept, where condition is very favorable, And when you go into thought-based meditation, energy field, you only experience the good meditation, the calmness, the peacefulness, the special mind states, the manifestation. You see light, you see everything, and experience all the psychic. But that is not meditation, because you don't develop the true awakening, understanding, and wisdom, and you cannot deal with light. That's like the moment you come out, you're back to square one. You realize your greed is still there. Your fear is still there. Your anxiety is still there. Your old habitual tendencies are all still there. You find it so difficult to root out. The egoic mind is still so rigidly holding on to this entity that there is a being inside there. And you are so and so. Then, there is not meditation. There is not purifying the mind. You haven't changed. You haven't really straightened your views. Maybe knowledge why you think you know. You think you have straightened your view. But no, there is not. That's why after these two, then you will understand the Dhamma. Dhamma Nupassana, the fourth foundation. There are again six categories of practices under Dhamma Nupassana. What are they? Huh? First one is mindfulness of mind. Five mental hindrance. Next one? Five aggregate of form and mind. Five aggregate of form and mind. Then, third one? Mindfulness of the six internal and external sense basis. This is the 18th sense rhyme. This is to trace the origination factor. How you become what you are. Then the fourth one is what? Mindfulness of what? No. Fourth overthrow is the last one. Oh, sorry, this one got five only. This one is the seven factors of enlightenment. Seven factors of enlightenment. You go and read that book, the Satipatthana, the last chapter, the yellow copy one. That one very detailed at the Wu Ping Ching Sir class. I described the whole of the cultivation there. You read that one, you will understand Satipatthana. Today I don't have time, I just run through a lot of things. But you read that one is very good. What's it called? The last Satipatthana Sutta class, the last one. It's transcribed now because that one was very good. Then read that one. The fifth is mindfulness of the four noble truths. And this is how the cultivation develop wisdom. That's why the Buddha said, if you are mindful of the five mental hindrance, when you meditate, you're just silent. From feeling, pleasant feeling. What is pleasant feeling? What is pleasant feeling? Essential desire, isn't it? And what essential desire? The first mental hindrance, or the five hindrance. So under Dhamma Nupassana, this is repeated, understand? That's why when you can do Vedana, only you can do Dhamma. Otherwise you cannot. And when you can do Vedana, only you can do Chitta. And when your kaya is not stable, forget about all this. You are using thought. You are never using awareness and mindfulness. A lot of people will tell you, go straight to Chittanupassana. They say, I can see my mind. Yeah, you go and try. Without kaya nupassana to stabilize your awareness until you are ever mindful in the midst of life, you forget about the other three foundations. Well, it's impossible for you to do. You will only use thought. Thought base. That's why when you are silent, you will be aware. Instead of feeling, when feeling has pleasant feeling, you aware. But under the five aggregate of form and mind, the mindfulness of five mental hindrance is different. You just silence your mind. And when you silence your mind, what happens? You have your senses, isn't it? If your spiritual faculty are not stable yet, then they will arise. The five mental hindrances will arise. And when they arise, because you are mindful, you are aware, you will come to know one. In the Satipatthana Sutta, that fourth foundation, the first category of practice, mindfulness of five mental hindrances, what did the Buddha say? You will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Because you are aware. Then you know how it arises. Then when you continue to be silent, to be aware, then how it ceases. That's why you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then after you have developed the other practices, after these five mental hindrances, you see the five aggregate of form and mind. Then the Buddha says, thus is form. Thus is the arising of form. Thus is the cessation or passing away of form. You have to understand them with mindfulness at the moment of its perception and awareness of it. That's how form arises. The mind is a forerunner of all things. That's why there are conditions arising, causal phenomena. I already explained. You must learn how to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. And form is unreal because it's condition arising. Physically, outside, already conditioned, like this table. You need all the raw material with a skilled worker or a factory to produce it. So when the condition is there, it arises. Then somebody sell, you buy, it arises, exists. Then this condition cease, it's gone. So externally, like the block art, is already condition arising, not so real. Then how do you know this table or that block art? Through your perception. That's why you're supposed to have this ability to see in your mind all these images that your mind creates through perception. That's why perception aggregate is like a mirage. It brings the external form into mind, create the unreality for you to grasp, to cling, and to hold because of your delusion, self-delusion, and ignorance. So all this, you will develop the ability. Then after that, you go to the six internal and six external sense bases. You are so mindful within the internal sense bases and how it receives the external sense data, that upon contact, how consciousness arises. All this you will see in the meditation. That is the real sati. No words, nothing. You're just silent, aware, and you see them trickling in the midst of life while you're walking, sitting, contemplating. The Dhamma is all there. All these are there. And this is the real Satipatthana. But living being, really a pity. They are using thought to analyze all this through knowledge, through theory, noting, doing all those funny things. So when you don't understand, you will fail to understand the cultivation. Then you cannot break free. Then after you trace the origination factor, then you realize all of your wrong view come about after you either see something or hear something or smell, taste or tactile feel or think. It's from one of your sense door. That is the origination factor. That's how the fourth way to meditate. The Buddha said the third way is just aware, silent, don't do anything. Then the natural state of mind will come back to you. Then you will understand by not doing anything, all of the hindrances to be, all of the mental hindrances to be, all the aggregates to be, because they are impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating, not real, doesn't belong to you, not a permanent unchanging entity. You will see all this. That's how the meditation can transform you, awaken you. Then when you trace the origination factor, you know how to deal with it. No wonder last time I saw that guy, I straight away through memory recall and I reacted because I attached to the past memory. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why can't I just silence my mind and observe him for what he is? And he is the way he is. I don't have to react and stir. I don't have to have a negative perception of what he is. Then you can learn to see things as they are. Then as you straighten your view and have the ability to see things as they are, the duality is gone. You don't judge anymore. They are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. No duality. The thing is just the way it is. Then you realize after you straighten your view, the next time you see the same thing, or hear the same thing, or recall the same thing, you do not react anymore. That's how you transform with wisdom within, with understanding. That's why after you cultivate this mindfulness of Dhamma, the first three categories, and develop the type of wisdom, then you realize the second, the fourth foundation, mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, they keep on arising in you. If you meditate and cannot find any of these factors of enlightenment in you, forget about trying to become enlightened. Understand? You don't stand a chance. First thing first, you don't even understand what sati is. The first factor of enlightenment or sati is also not there. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Dhamma vichaya, the second factor of enlightenment, also not there. You know what they use? Like sensu. They use the thought, the mundane mind. They thought that is sati. They note, they analyze. Then they use their thought to verbalize. That's where they go wrong. And they call that Dhamma investigation, contemplation. Yeah. Then after that, what other factor of enlightenment is there? If you have the real sati, when you investigate the Dhamma, then the Dhamma stand up to investigation, you know what happened? There is so much joy inside you, pity. Then there is this virya to drive you, where this teaching is so important. It stand up to investigation. It can transform you. It can make you so beautiful. It can liberate your mind. Then you go all out with the virya, which is the third enlightenment factor. Then you will experience pity. It's like all the factor of enlightenment is there. Then you will have the silent mind, which is paucity, is always with you. Then you accumulate into the stability of mindfulness to develop samadhi. Then as your wisdom awakens, upekha, the real upekha enlightenment is there, not born of energy field, conditioned state. Okay? So with that, I finish the whole of the Satipatthana sharing today. Yeah? The last one is Four Noble Truths, is a repeat of what I shared with you. Yeah? So I will stop my talk because I exceeded 10 minutes. We started late, huh? So you all can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe you can have Q&A, one or two questions. Yeah. Anybody got any question or anything you want to make clear, you can ask while I have a drink.
Any question from the floor?
Is it clear? Anything you want me to explain or elaborate on?
No, it's just that without the daily mindfulness.
Yeah. You don't stand a chance, I tell you. You don't stand a chance. That's why sati has to be developed until very stable. Then until you can make use of that trained mind to live life, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, leading to heedfulness, means the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. You must know the first path factor, the three right views. Reflect on it, contemplate on it, and develop the clear understanding of it. Then apply it to arise the right thought. When you have right view, you will condition the right thought. Then you will know what constitute right thought, what constitute the three evil roots. How did the five mental hindrances come to be? The source is from ignorance. An ignorant condition, attachment, clinging, grasping. That's how the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion arise. That's why all this you will understand. Then you will know what right thought is. You will not believe what the books say. They always tell you the four Brahma Vihara are the only right thought. No, there are a lot more right thought. And you have to understand what constitutes wrong thought. That is more important. That is hardly thought. Thought that condition, your delusion, your anger, your selfishness, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. That condition your own negativity and all that. These are all wrong thought. Thought that brings about disharmony. conflict, argument, and all those things. These are all wrong thought. Whereas right thought brings about harmony, wholesomeness, goodness, friendliness, gentleness, blessedness, sincerity, honesty, then respect, gratitude, contentment, all these are all right thought without the evil roots. That's why without heedfulness, ever mindful state of mind, to cultivate noble eightfold path, you cannot develop heedfulness, and the heedless are as if dead. Very easy to conclude. So what you say is very true, Nancy. Thank you. Very good. Without mindfulness, you don't stand a chance, which is very true. In fact, that was the message I wanted to deliver all these years before I came out to share. And when I came out to share, this message was so difficult. Where everybody thought sitting, walking, and the formal meditation is key to meditation. And everybody tell you, you must meditate, you must meditate. But what is meditation? Very few people really understand. The real meditation is the daily mindfulness, heedfulness. You cannot be heedful, forget about meditation. The Buddha make it very clear. The heedless are as if dead, finish. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. If you can't be heedful in the midst of life, you really don't stand a chance. Now you see that very clearly there. So forget about what they tell you. You just do and develop the mindfulness. When it comes, your form and mind will know. You have to develop until that mindfulness really comes to you. Then you will understand what sati is. Without word, without anything, the body and mind just is one. Then everything becomes aware, just aware, full of clarity. Then you also amaze, the form and mind also amaze. How come now like that one? No thought one. Everything like move together. The form and the mind together. Like that Fa Ku San, that Master Sun Yan. When we went and visit that place in Taiwan, the first thing the Sijie that took us around tell us, the meditation as taught by their teacher is 16 words in Mandarin. Sen zai nali, sing zai nali. Wow, the very moment he mentioned that, I rejoiced as a sadhu. He said, wherever your kaya is, your mind has to follow. That is what kaya no vasana is all about. Then he said, fang song, relax. Chuan ti fang song. That is meditation. You must know how to relax, maintain awareness. That's why the four support, relax, aware. Then maintain it 24 hours. Then trust. Okay? Yeah. Anymore. From today's talk, what are the things that you come to understand important? Apart from daily mindfulness.
Practice of the four postures.
Yeah, so mindfulness of the four postures. So yeah.
It's very good to, start from the morning to be mindful of all your body.
Yeah, initially it's like that. Don't worry. Initially, like very difficult to do one. I already told you all when I started. When I reverse my cultivation from absorption anapanasati, I was so strong and powerful in my anapanasati, during the university day. I can hold the jhana with me, the concentration with me throughout the day. I'm fully silent inside. peaceful, calm, and here at the heart here, like one energy, very strong, you know, like a cylinder of energy, very still. Lightning strike, anything also didn't move at all. And that mind is like you already enlightened. And yet later on when I came out to work, then I realized, no, when I start to touch money and I don't develop that form of meditation of anapanasati so often, then when this energy slowly go, then I realize it's stir again. That's how I come to know it's all suppressed. The mental hindrance, the ego roots. Then when the energy is no more there, it becomes like a free mind. Then you realize all your defilements still there. Your greed, you want to study law, you want to study. As an engineer, still got craving to study all sorts of things, MBA, you know, this thing. Then wants to learn and develop more understanding of your profession. So a lot of these things is start to see. Then I realized this is not right. Then when I met my real first teacher, Ajahn Chandra, who explained to me the real meditation, the highest meditation, he just said, we choose aware every action, every moment in the present. Just these few words. The moment I heard, inside, deep inside, I was stunned. I told myself I have not really started the real meditation. Then I tried to be mindful of every action, every moment in the present. Cannot. Like you say, split second, the mindfulness is gone. Split second is gone. Then hardly aware, less than 5 minutes in a day, unless I go back into anapanasati, develop all the absorption, the mindfulness, the continuous mindfulness. But no point, there is a condition state. I'm holding on to that mindfulness to be aware, which is not the real one. That's why I determined to reverse this practice and cultivation. That everything I do, I determine to be aware, because Ajahn Chandra asked, who wants to promise to develop this awareness, mindfulness, throughout the day, in the midst of life? Then I straight away, without hesitation, put up the hand. Then another guy put up the hand. Then he told us, the two of you, say, you promised the Buddha, you never promised me. Promise the Buddha, you know, how to violate. That's how I determined and do. And within 2 weeks, the sati came. And it's not difficult. When you have the resolve inside you, that's like strike on with heedfulness, means determine to train yourself to have this heedfulness. It's not an effort to meditate, you know. No? It's a determination that sees the importance of this to develop this sati. That's it. Strike on with heedfulness, so that with the sati, you stabilize it to be ever mindful, to cultivate noble eightfold path. At the end, it becomes apamada, heedfulness. Then you are destined for enlightenment. And it's not difficult. That's why I determine to be mindful first. Don't try to know. Forget about everything. The moment the mind wanders off or becomes heedless, don't worry. Don't get angry or unhappy. Just tell yourself. The untrained mind is heedless. It will happen. Then like anapanasati, just bring it back. Maintain attention. The attention of inattention is attention. The awareness of heedlessness is awareness itself. When you are aware that you are not mindful, that itself is the awareness. So determined to be aware. Then the Buddha knew, initially you cannot start all over. You have to start with the four postures, the easiest four postures, sitting, just aware. Standing, aware, means when you want to come up, the whole process of your movement, anchor the awareness to your whole bodily movement. That's why your turning of your hand, your stretching, bending, everything you aware. Looking forward, aware. Turning, aware. Then whatever you do, body and mind as one. Pay respect also same, body and mind as one. You just keep on doing. Until one day, all of a sudden, the sati is there. The form and mind will know. Yeah. It's like you play any games, where you become very skillful, very graceful. People ask you, how can you execute all those strokes? Train. Exactly the same. That's why this sati can be trained. The only thing you need to understand, you must be silent. Awareness is silent. Body and mind as one. The mind is aware of the movement. That's it. When you anchor to the movement, when you keep on developing mindfulness, everything you do, even when you want to take this book, the movement, the body and this mind, the movement as one. Then you take, come out, you're aware. Understand? Then when you put it down, it's the same. Most of the time, you don't believe me, before you do this, how your hand go and take also, you don't know where you are thinking. The thought say, I need this book. But you are not aware of all this movement. Even now as I talk, all this movement, this nature is aware. And because the awareness is spacious awareness without a center, your movement also, this nature can see. You understand? And this is what sati is all about. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. You don't have to practice to be aware. You only have to develop the ability to be silent. And to be silent, you must straighten your view. Avijja must be attenuated or reduced until no more. Because avijja, the moment is there, it will create sankhara. Dependent on ignorant activity of mind, sankhara will arise. You will think, you will become heedless. You cannot do anything to it. That's why you have to keep on listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view. Then only it weakens the first link of avijja. Then less avijja, less sankhara. That's why more clarity. So a lot of people don't understand. That's why I started my group name called Kayanamita. Is because, like the Buddha said, Kayanamita shape is 100% of the holy life. Without real Kayanamita, noble friends, friends that has the Dhamma, you don't stand a chance. That's why with Kayanamitas, you will be among a group of people who will have the condition to listen to the Dhamma, the true Dhamma. Then when you listen to the true Dhamma, you can straighten your view to develop wisdom and understanding. Then you have yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. And then you can deal with sense experience. Then there is sense restraint. Then when there is sense restraint, only you can develop the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, leading to liberation of mind, the realization of Nibbana and all those things. So everything starts with Dhamma friends. Without that, you will mix with all the one. Most of them are heedless. The heedless and the foolish. That's how they lead to downfall. So if you have with Dhamma friends, you will have all those true Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma. And there are some who already have the Dhamma. And they were there. They are there to help you, to counsel you, to motivate you, and to encourage you to come and listen to Dhamma, to develop the practice, the cultivation, to discuss the Dhamma. Then to do a lot of wholesomeness like what our Kayanamita group is doing. We got our weekly classes, we got our monthly sharing and all those things. Then our monthly house dana, the annual retreat, gathering of Kayanamita, spiritual tree. There are a lot of activity. And all this will be described on the website, which is going to be ready soon. After that, all the recording, you don't have to worry, is all there. We are going to subscribe for unlimited memories or data. I don't know what they call it. Memory or data. Sorry. I used the wrong word. That's why things that I'm not familiar, I'm very scared to use to storage. Unlimited storage. This is to make sure whatever that comes in years to come, we have enough storage. You won't have problem Dropbox taking off our link and all those things. And some of the recorded talk, they go missing, couldn't be located. The early years one are all cassette tape, all gone. That one. Luckily, later year, we should thank Brother Suyan. He came out with this recorder. The recording is so clear now in the website now. I listen very clear, very, very clear. No distortion, nothing. Clear voice just come out like that. We should thank Rasuyan. This recorder is very good, and you can download it and all those things. Okay, thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We better end. Almost 10:30 already.
Sadhu, Brother Teo, for sharing with us your knowledge. And so we all have a good understanding. So in appreciation, we will extend
token
of appreciation for your compassion.
Okay, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Where is Brother Chua? Chua, come. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Brother Chua, very kind. Provide transport for me and my wife and some kilometer. And he's a very good driver. Today we managed to make it also because of him. And you sit in his car, you feel very safe. I rejoice.
All right, we'll end the session for tonight by transferring merits
sharing merits. We will do our usual closing puja. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed through this past nearly 2 hours of very beautiful sharing. Then let us transfer and share all these merits with all beings who can receive it, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta watta camihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Konyi Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Then don't forget to collect the books. Brother Khan, this is for you. Your daughter want a set or not? You can also collect. If your daughter want a set, you can take one set for her too. Then you can share with your wife. Then Thursday class you come, you can have Brother Tay. This is for you. Then Sia and Nancy, you all have?